you take, please take with me your Bibles and open up the Epistle of Paul to Romans, Paul's Epistle to Romans, chapter 8. Chapter 8. And we will begin reading at verse 31 and to the end. Chapter 8, verse 31. through 39. This is the very word of God. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Thus far with reading God's holy and infallible word. The theme that we've written over verse 32, which is the verse that we want to consider this afternoon, is this: the Father gives up his Son? What manner of love is this? What manner of love is this? This is one of the most precious promises that many of God's children cherish. There are many promises in God's word, no doubt. For example, Psalm 84, verse 11. No good thing does God withhold from those who walk uprightly. That's a wonderful promise. A promise that I have quoted many times to others, to try to comfort and encourage them. There's nothing good that God will withhold from those who walk uprightly. And then there's also, isn't there, 1 Corinthians 3, 21 through 23, for all things are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or the present or the future, all are yours, and you are Christ's, and Christ is God's. Those are promises that are absolutely amazing and astonishing. They're just spectacular promises that you and I latch hold of and won't let go. By faith, we love these promises. And God comes and he sweeps down with these promises in times when we least expect it. It's good to memorize the promises of God. And the reason why it's good to memorize them is because when we're in deep, dark, difficult situations, when we have a lot of hurt and a lot of pain, God will come with the power of his Spirit and awaken up in our minds and bring to remembrance, as Christ said the Spirit would do, the things which Jesus has revealed to the Spirit. And those are the promises of his word. And they come to us at those moments. And we cherish them and we love them because they're the ones that lift us up when our knees are beginning to become wobbly and our hearts are faint and our hands are weak. They're wonderful promises. But the amazing promise of Romans 8:32 is that it is accompanied by a rock solid foundation. There is a foundation that lays the groundwork for the promise that Paul, by the power of the Spirit, is going to heap on top of that foundation. It's amazing, absolutely amazing. And so he has this foundation, which is the guarantee that the promise that comes after it is sure. And so we have in verse 32, we'll read that again, the foundation and the promise. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all. That's the foundation. Here comes the promise. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? I have a question to ask you. We're going to be speaking about the foundation. The foundation says something very, very profound. It says, he who did not spare his son. My question is, who killed Jesus? Who killed him? Was it the soldiers? Was it the Pharisees and Sadducees? Was it your and my sins? All those answers seem probable. But ultimately, the one who killed Jesus is God the Father. That's mind-blowing. But that's what Paul is saying. He says, he who did not spare his own son. Just leaves you in utter silence, doesn't it, when you think about that? That God the Father is the one who put his son to death. Let me read you a few passages in Scripture. This Jesus, Acts 2 verse 23, was delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God. God planned this. All the way back in Genesis 3 verse 15, he mentioned it, the first promise. The seed of the woman would crush the seed of the serpent, but in the process, the seed of the woman would be bruised. And then we have Isaiah 53, which puts it very clear, doesn't it? Crystal clear, who it was that put the son to death. He says, we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God. It was the will of the Lord to crush him. It was the will of the Father to crush his son. The Father has put him to grief. And Romans 3 verse 25 says, God put him forward as a propitiation by his blood. Let me take you back to another instance in the Old Testament. There we have Abraham. What does God call Abraham to do with Isaac? He says, Abraham, Abraham, take with you your son and go to the place that I have appointed you and offer there up your son. And Abraham takes the fire and the wood couple servants, and Isaac, and they make their trek to Mount Moriah. He leaves his servants behind a little ways and goes forward with Isaac. Isaac says, "Daddy, behold, the wood and the fire. Where's the sacrifice? I don't see it, Daddy." There's where the dialogue ends. Abraham says God will provide, meaning that Abraham believed that when he slew Isaac, that God would resurrect Isaac, because God had said, through your seed, all the nations of the world would be blessed. Somehow, some way, Isaac is going to resurrect. I have to slay him. And so there Isaac lies on the altar. And he's got his knife. And he's ready to bring it down on the chest of his son. And God says, "Abraham, Abraham." "Now I know. Because you have not withheld your only son." But there in the thicket is a ram. Abraham hears the rustling of a ram caught in a thicket, and he rushes over there and grabs a ram and slays a ram, lies it on the altar, and offers it up unto God. Who is the ram? And who is the father that slays the ram? It's God the Father, and the ram is Jesus Christ. And the thrust of the Father's knife is not stayed. It comes down upon his son. It comes down, slays him. I do anything to protect my son. I die between the knife and the son. But there is no hand of prevention from the Father bringing down the knife upon his only son. The son whom he's always loved. The son of which at his baptism he said, "This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased." And then on the Mount of Transfiguration, there's Peter and James and John, and Peter says, "It's good for us to be here. Let us make three tabernacles, one for you, one for Elijah, and one for Moses." And all of a sudden, they disappear. And there's only Jesus standing there. And then they hear a voice that says, "This is my son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him." Everything's pointing to my son that I'm going to slay. Everything. Why does God slay his son? Why does he do that? Well, Paul provides the answer, doesn't he? Listen to what he says. "He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all." He slew him for you. The knife of the Father came upon his son for you and for me. He killed his son for us. He delivered him up. He didn't spare his son, but he delivered him up for us. For all those whom God the Father has chosen, elect according to the foreknowledge of God, those who believe in him, the Son of God, was delivered up by the Father. Incredible. Psalm 103, surely he has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. He punished his Son. Chastisement of our iniquity was laid on Christ. All our sins piled on Christ. Wasn't guilty of one of them, but he took it all. And the Father's justice said, I must slay him. But the wonderful thing of this foundation is that it provides the groundwork for the promise that flows right after. He who did not spare his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? You know what the Apostle Paul is doing here? He's arguing from the greater to the lesser. There is an Arabian gymnastic move. They call it Arabian something. It slips my mind right now. But in the process of this just gymnastic move, you come out of a twist and do a double somersault off the bar. It is most difficult. But this is an example of how Paul is arguing from the greater to the lesser. If I am a gymnast and I can pull off that most difficult move, then a double twist off of the bars is a piece of cake. And what Paul is saying here, he who did not spare his Son, but gave him up for us all, how shall he not also give us all things? If he's done this, all of these things here are nothing compared to that. He can easily do all those things. Easily. And you say, Pastor, there's something wrong here. If that's true, what you're saying, then how come I don't have all the things I've asked for? How come I still struggle with certain things? I still have these challenges. I still have this hurt, this pain, this concern. How come? Why aren't they removed? Context, remember, is king. And what are all things of which Paul speaks? How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? And here it comes. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. You see, Paul's mind is not worldly. His mind doesn't even go there. He's thinking of the things that are substantive, that really matter. He's talking about realities that are enduring. He's not talking about the things of this present world that are temporal and fading away. They're going to fade away, no matter what. But these things are the lasting things, that I am justified before God, that no matter how much mud people and the devil and others will throw at me, it won't stick. I'm justified. Again, who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died. There are a lot of condemning voices in your heart, in your mind, aren't there, at times? They come in like a flood. But the answer is, God gave His Son, and He will not withhold anything that is good for us, and so He has provided a Lamb, Jesus Christ, who has died for us. There is now no condemnation to them who walk upright. To them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the will of the flesh, but after the Spirit. There is no condemnation. Christ has taken it all. And then He says, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. How shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? He gives us the intercession of His Son, who is constantly praying for us, interceding for us, standing up for us as our paraclete, constantly. That's what you and I need. I need that. There are enough condemning voices around me to bring me down and to paralyze me in absolute fear so that I am useless and unfruitful. But because Christ has died, yes, has been raised from the grave, and is now at His right hand, and Christ is interceding for me, and He's given me His Holy Spirit, by the grace of God, I'm able to overcome all those condemning voices and look to Him who was declared righteous by His Father and who took all my condemnation upon Himself. And He goes on to say, who shall separate us from the love of God, from the love of Christ? So all these charges won't stick. The condemning voices are silenced. We have an interceding high priest. And then we have the constant, unabating love of God in Christ towards us. And Paul says, there's nothing in all this world, in all of creation, that can separate us from that love. Paul, as it were, stands and he challenges heaven, angels, he challenges men on this earth, and he challenges devils. And he says, who can separate us from the love of God in Christ? And then he goes on to say, what can separate us? Who and what can separate us? These can't, and the what can either. Everything that pertains to this life, he says, neither life nor death. Think of what it is. I don't care what it is. Bring it up. Bring it to the fore. Lay it before God and say, Lord, can any of this separate your love from me? And the answer is none. Nothing. Nothing in this life, no hurt, no pain, no matter what you have done in your past, no matter what you will do in the future. If you are in Christ Jesus, the love of God will not be separated from you. It is impossible. And death, all that pertains to death, God serves it for our good. Brings us into glory. Christ has conquered death. He's overcome it. And He has made it into a passage into glory. Father gives up His Son. And you and I ask that question. A father gives up his son? Do such a thing like that? God did. And those who believe in Jesus respond when they see that and say with an exclamation, "What manner of love is this?"